May I see your identification? What are your credentials? Throughout our lives, we are asked to show our ID, our proof that we are who we say we are. In the ministry of Jesus, God the Father provided authentication for who the Son of God really was. At the start of his public ministry, God the Father announced, "This is my beloved Son." And then, partway through his ministry, he revealed this truth at least to three key leaders: Peter, James, and John, who were to occupy a key role in the new church Christ was building. Leaders and followers need to know who Jesus is. May our faith increase as we gaze in wonder upon God's beloved Son. Blessings from the desk of Pastor Keith. Ajax Baptist Church Sunday Morning Reload, March 8, 2020. On behalf of Pastor Keith Edwards and the entire family here at Ajax Baptist Church, we're delighted that you've joined us for this week's Sunday Morning Reload. The text is Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17, and Matthew 17, verses 1 to 13. And the message is entitled, "Who is Jesus? The Beloved Son." Now, here's Pastor Keith.
Well, would you take your Bibles, please, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 3. In your bulletin, you have a brief outline of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the outline that is there for you is really a depiction of the 3 years, slightly over 3 years of the ministry of Jesus. The first year was a year of obscurity. It was a year when he was not known. He was, as it were, he had a very, very low profile. And then the second year was the year of popularity. This was when he was very, very popular, where the crowds were being impacted in his public ministry. And then as he came into his third year, he came into a year of opposition. The religious leaders located in Jerusalem, living in the south, and of course basing their teaching and ministry around the temple, they were Jewish, and they didn't understand, they didn't realize who he was. Who is Jesus? Well, as far as they were concerned, he was just another rabbi, just another teacher. In fact, they accused him of blasphemy because he dared to claim to be the Son of God. This morning, we want to answer the question, who is Jesus, by answering it as he is the beloved Son. The text that is on our on the screen this morning is, first of all, from Matthew chapter 3. And in these verses, in the very beginning of his ministry, this is the official start of his ministry, where John the Baptist, his cousin, had been, of course, preaching. John the Baptist had an effective, Spirit-filled, God-blessed ministry that lasted 6 months. It's not how long we serve God, is it? 6 months. He began his ministry of preaching, and 6 months later, he was beheaded because he dared to take on the religious or the political leader of the day. And of course, that was what a sad occasion that was. You remember the birthday party of Herod's wife. And her daughter danced. This was a very complicated relationship. We won't go into all the details, but this daughter who danced before the crowd had been prompted by her mother to say, you know, if King Herod offers you a favor, if he says, "What do you want?" Tell him you want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. I mean, what a gruesome, gory, evil, intended woman to drive against the work of God. And God allowed it. God allowed it. But as we come to Matthew chapter 3, this is before that happens, at the very start of his ministry, Matthew 3 in verse 13, Jesus came from Galilee. So he's in the north, right? Galilee is the northern region of Israel, and he came to the Jordan. So he's coming south to the Jordan River where John, his cousin, is baptizing. John's ministry, we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's read the scripture and then study it together. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Our second reading is in chapter 17 of Matthew, where some years later, partway through the ministry of Jesus, we've had the credentials. Now we have an occasion of confirmation. It's as if the disciples may have forgotten who Jesus was. And so now Jesus selects the three leaders, Peter, James, and John, who will have the greatest responsibility in the church in the coming days, and he takes them. After 6 days, he took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. So remember, this scene, what we're going to see in this text, is simply for believers. It's hidden. The crowds don't see this. The religious leaders don't see this. Only those who have committed themselves to Christ see this. And that's the principle today. If you're not a believer, there are certain parts of the Bible you won't understand. You need God's help. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the things of God. So as they go up to this high mountain, it says there he, that is Jesus, was transfigured or transformed before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The disciples asked him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure Elijah comes and will restore all things. We're going to look at that text a little later on. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 3, and let's look together at these credentials. Here we have God the Father, as it were, officially launching the ministry of Jesus. Jesus, of course, as you go back into his life, you discover, of course, in the Old Testament, some of the predictions of his coming. Then you discover his birth, which we celebrate at Christmas. And we just have a few chapters, Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, just four chapters that deal with his birth, and then silence. And then you get to when he's 12 years of age, which we would say would be his bar mitzvah. This is when he's becoming a child of the covenant, and he's taken by his parents to the place of worship, taken to the temple. And he's there, and he would read the law, and in fact, when they return to go back to Nazareth, he's not with them, and they discover after a few days he's missing. And where? I mean, what do you do with when a 12-year-old is missing? I'm sure our attention was gravitated this past week to this 14-year-old young man taken captive because his stepbrother had a $4 million drug debt. You can imagine the terror. I understand this family is involved with a church in Toronto, at least part of the family is. And you can imagine the terror in the heart of that 14-year-old taken captive against his will for the illegal activity of a stepbrother. Well, in Jesus' case, he was missing in action, as it were, and his mother began to worry, and they came back to Jerusalem. They left the crowd, headed back to the north, and they came back. And where did they find him? There in the temple. And as you know, if you ever had to talk to a 12-year-old, you might have a few things to say, right? Where were you? We've been worried, help me out, sick about you. You can imagine. I mean, a parent is a parent, right? Sure, your child may be perfect. Anybody have a perfect child? Well, we won't mention that. But I mean, he was a perfect child, but she was still concerned. And what did Jesus say? Did you not know I had to be about my Father's business? Father's business? It's not Joseph? No. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I had to be about my Father's business, 12 years of age. And he knows who he is. Son of God, Son of man. Then from 12 to 30, silence. Nothing. No details. And then at 30, this is when we come to Matthew chapter 3. And John the Baptist has come into the desert. He is out. He's away from the crowds. He's away from the city. And he looks, shall we say, just a little bit different, don't you think? He is wearing a camel hair piece of clothing, and he has a leather belt around his waist. Anybody got an outfit like that? I mean, it's just unusual, isn't it? He stood out. He was different. And his diet was grasshoppers and wild honey. I don't know. I've tried the wild honey. I haven't yet. Maybe on some missionary trip, I'll get a chance to try the grasshoppers. The locusts. Anybody eating locusts? They're nutritious, eh? The two people back there. What are they like? You know, they're crunchy, obviously. Right? He had an unusual ministry, and what is he doing? He's calling people out of the city, out of the culture, to come down to the Jordan River, and he says, listen, come down to the water, I'm going to baptize you. Well, John, why should we be baptized? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's coming, God is on the move, and you need to be ready. When God comes, you need to be ready to meet God. He's coming in the person of his Son. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. People start being baptized because it was different. It's not Christian baptism. We have a baptistry here, and the baptistry here is for those who already have repented. So for Christian baptism, you repent, you declare your faith in Christ, then you're baptized. John's baptism, you showed that you were repenting by being baptized. It is different. And as he's baptizing candidate after candidate after candidate, he looks up in this long list of or line of candidates, and here's Jesus. Some suggest this is perhaps the first time they have seen each other for years. But somehow, by God's grace, with God's help, he recognizes this is the Messiah. This is Jesus, that was a common name, Yeshua, Joshua, common name, but this is Jesus who is called the Christ. Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him. John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus, you are greater than I am. Now, every one of us in this room can say that this morning, can we not? Jesus is so much greater than we are. John the Baptist knew that Jesus was greater than he was. But Jesus insisted, Jesus pressed him and said, no, John, let it be so now. It is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. What is happening here? God is supplying the credentials for Jesus. Now, I don't know if you have you ever been asked for your credentials? I'm not talking about those occasions, you know, where you're having a nice drive, maybe not paying attention, and all of a sudden you get some lovely flashing blue and red lights that are behind you. And what do they ask for? May I see your driver's license and your insurance? Now, why do they want to see that? Do they want to just have a little conversation about how your day is going? Or do they want to see if you are the legitimate owner of that car, and for what reason did you turn left when you shouldn't have turned left, or for what reason were you speeding when you shouldn't have been speeding, or why were you looking down at your phone when you were supposed to be concentrating? We talk about credentials, or you go to a conference. Some of the churches have conferences. Some of you work in businesses, and you go to the conference, and as you go to that registration desk, of course, now you don't even, I mean, there's not a desk, you do it all online, and what do you have to show? Your credentials. Who are you? Well, I'm sent by such and such a company, such and such an organization, and I'm here on behalf of them to attend this conference. Credentials are important. The whole issue of identity theft is a big issue, isn't it? Where someone is impersonating you. Someone has stolen your credentials. Have you ever lost your wallet or your purse? And you're panicking, thinking, oh, what all was in there? What cards do I have? What am I going to do about my driver's license, my health card, my birth certificate, whatever else is in there, your CARP card, whatever. You know, you've got all of these things that provide credentials. Well, what is God doing in Matthew chapter 3? He is providing the credentials for Jesus. Here is Jesus coming to be baptized by John, and as soon, look at verse 16 with me, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, he had been immersed, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. God the Holy Spirit is coming, as it were, in a visible form and resting on Jesus. Now, remember, Jesus is going to begin his ministry as our prophet, as our priest, and as our king. And if you've ever read the Old Testament, you'll know that when a prophet or a priest or a king, when they had their official launch, when this was the official launch of their ministry, the prophet of the day would go to his things, and he would get a little vase or a little vial of oil, and he would pour the olive oil on the head of the candidate. Why did he do that? He's saying to the congregation, he's saying to the crowd, sometimes to the whole nation, here's the new king. We want God to anoint, to bless, to guide this new king. Amen? We want God to christen, that's the word, we want God to christen this prophet, this priest, so he has God's help. So what is Jesus getting from heaven? God's help. 100% God's help. And the way he receives it is the Spirit is coming. Was it a dove? No, it doesn't say he was a dove. It says he descended like a dove. Something's visible. Again, the details are not as clear maybe as we'd like them, but the Holy Spirit comes and rests on him. And at the same time, verse 17, a voice. A voice from heaven. Now, you can imagine it was easily heard, don't you think? I don't think they had PA systems by the Jordan River. Just, I may be wrong, but I don't think you had to worry about getting wired up for microphones, right? Somehow the voice came from heaven and it said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What is God doing? God is giving the credentials. God is saying to John the Baptist, God is saying to the people, God is saying to Jesus, "You are my son." This is the official launch. All of the ministry that you will carry out from your baptism right through until the cross, right through until Good Friday of the last year of your life, All of that ministry will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in one sense, we can all learn something from that principle, can't we? If God has called you to do a certain ministry, to speak, to sing, to serve, you name it, you fill in the blank, here, God has put this burden on your heart, whose help do you need to do that? 100% God, don't you? If you want to be effective, if you want to be used by God, you need God's help. Anybody heard of Billy Graham? You know, just you know, a little bit. You know, why did God bless his ministry? Why did God open up some doors for him? I think he preached to more people than anyone else in all of church history. God blessed him. He's a man of prayer. And his famous quote, his famous expression, no matter what he was preaching on, he would always say these three words, "The Bible says." You ever heard him say that? You could talk, he'd have all kinds of illustrations, he'd have a team doing all kinds of research into the culture, into the language, into these illustrations that were appropriate, and then when he got up to preach, he would say, "But the Bible says," right? And that became his trademark. It wasn't what Billy Graham said. What did God say? And so the ministry of Jesus, from his baptism right through until his crucifixion, will all be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we don't have it on this text on the screen, but in Acts chapter 10, here is Peter explaining the gospel to a Roman soldier named Cornelius. Cornelius was a man who had an interest in the things of God, and God brought him into contact with Peter. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 37, it says, "You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism," there it is, "the baptism that John preached." Now notice these words. "How God," that is God the Father, "anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." That's a great text. Here's the reminder. Who is Jesus? That's the question we've been asking these weeks, and we'll continue to ask right up until Easter Sunday. Who is Jesus? He is God's Son. He is the suffering, dying, risen Savior. We saw that last week. This week we're learning he is the beloved Son. He is the Son God loves. But his ministry, though he is God, his ministry will be done in dependence upon God. Do you follow? It's an example for us. How much power do we have, right? We refer to that in our prayer time. We run out of steam. Can we use that expression? Anybody run out of steam? I don't know what you run out of today. You know, nuclear power. What do we run out of? We run out of energy. We do not have the resources. We do not have the power we need to keep going. Ever felt weary? Yes. Where do we get more power? From God. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses unto me in Ajax and Pickering and Whitby and Scarborough and Peterborough and Oshawa and Curtis, even to the ends of the earth, if you have the power. Now, we're a bit dependent on power, don't you think? I don't know how many times, I've been trying to use an appliance, I'm thinking, what is wrong with this thing? I just was using it. Went out to use a power tool yesterday, and I thought, why is this not, it just worked a week ago. Tried it, it's not plugged in. A power tool that's not plugged in, it's kind of useless, don't you think? How about us? If we're not really plugged in to the power of God, what resources do we have? We just have our resources, and they're pretty limited. But praise God, we, like Christ, may have, by His grace, by the grace of God, access to the power of God. Well, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Because partway through His ministry, having been baptized, now He's been carrying on His ministry, He's been teaching, He's been preaching, He's been performing miracles, and now as we come to chapter 17, it's as if some of the disciples may have forgotten. Over time, we forget some truths, don't you agree? Over time, we can't remember all the things that we learned when we were a little bit younger or a lot younger. And so in Matthew chapter 17, God, by His confirmation, God, by His blessing, is saying to the disciples, listen, 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 don't forget who Jesus is. You're following Jesus, you're living with Jesus, you're serving Jesus, but don't forget who He is. This is My beloved Son. This is the Son I love. The apostles needed confirmation, and that's exactly what God provides. So what happens? Verse 7, chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Now, let's test your Bible knowledge for a moment. How many apostles were there? I'm listening. 12, right? When Jesus originally called people to follow Him, He called them to be disciples. Learners, that's the idea. And then from this group of disciples, He chose 12 to be apostles. The apostles had authority. The apostles had leadership. Now, of the 12, these three men get extra responsibility. You see the 12, but then you see Peter, James, and John. You see the 12, but then you see Peter, James, and John. And as you trace through history, you discover that Peter, James, and John had additional responsibility. Extra tasks, huge responsibility, and because they had huge responsibility under Christ, they also had to have more training, more resources. And so Jesus takes the three, He leaves the 9 at the bottom of the mountain, and He leads them up to a high mountain by themselves. This is their moment. This is their opportunity to see who Jesus is. And what happens? Verse 2, there He was transfigured before them. Look at what happens. His face shone like the sun. Now, I don't know about you, but I was always warned, certainly during eclipse days, what are you not supposed to do? Don't look directly. You can do damage. My dear brother went out. He was farming at the time, and he went out to a neighbor. We'd broken piece of equipment, and the neighbor took it to a neighbor who had some welding equipment, and the neighbor was doing some arc welding, right? Electric welding. My brother was just sitting there, you know, leaning on the edge of the barn, leaning in the garage, and what does he decide to do? Look at the weld. Watch the guy weld without a mask. Bad idea. Bad idea. In the middle of the night, he wakes up, he can't see. Why? You're not supposed to look at that. Just like the sun. How did Peter, James, and John handle looking at the very Son of God? His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. This is unique. This is spectacular. And as this transfiguration, this transformation is taking place, all of a sudden Moses and Elijah, I don't know, did they have name tags like our ushers? Hi, I'm Moses. How do they have t-shirts? I don't know. How did they know who these were? I've wondered. How do they know? They somehow recognized them. So probably they had some kind of perception. Well, that must be Moses. And that must be Elijah. Why did these two men from the Old Testament show up on this occasion? What is God saying? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When you and I, when we get to the end of our physical life, life does not end. What's the text say? If we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. A new life begins. So Elijah and Moses are still living. And even today, if we could roll back the scrolls of heaven and peer in to the very throne room of God, we would see Moses and Elijah. And what are they doing? Worshiping. John Newton was right, wasn't he? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. We are going to spend eternity singing. You better get practicing. Okay? That's a long time. We're going to be caught up in the wonder of who God is, of who Jesus is. And James and John and Peter see Moses and Elijah. And what are they talking with Jesus about? His death. It's significant that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all cover this event. They all cover the baptism, the credentials. They all cover the confirmation. That is how important it is. God repeats this account in three different ways through three different authors so that we may be sure of the reality of this confirmation. Now, Peter was the kind of man who had a hard time sitting still. Anybody like that? You know, you're going on vacation and you just can't sit. Your wife is saying to you, sit still. Or the big word, relax. You ever heard that? But I can't. I just can't sit still. I've got to do something. Right? That's the kind of guy Peter is. So Peter sees this. They've had this exposure to who Jesus is. They see Moses and Elijah. And Peter says to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. That was a good comment. That's fair, right? If you wish, we could build, I'll put up three shelters. And now, I don't know where he got the hammer, nails, wire, string, boards. Like, where's he going to get this? On the mountain. But Peter, look around. Well, what can we do? We've got something. We can make three shelters. And we can stay here a while. Why does he want to do that? He just can't worship. He just can't take it in. He just has to be active. And while he was still speaking, what happens? This bright cloud, it gets even brighter, enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my son. Peter, don't miss who Jesus is. This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him. I think he's saying, the text doesn't say it like this, but I think he's saying to Peter, you're not listening. You ever found something like that? Sometimes you're sitting there with your wife and you know, you're trying to watch something on TV. Has it ever happened? And she says something to you, and then what's her follow-up question? Help me out. Did you hear me? Oh, yeah, and you mumble off something. What? Yeah, because we're in the category. I mean, there's a great book on Amazon because it says, you know, men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. Do you know that book? You seen that book? It's a great book. It's a great tell-all about men. So that women who are, you know, their minds are like spaghetti. So they're talking about getting dinner ready, and then they think about the church on Sunday, and then they think about their aunt down in Nova Scotia, and then they think about something else, and they got like all of this web of ideas. Whereas men, like, we're in the TV watching box. And what are we? What's on our mind? Watching TV. And we're not thinking about anything else. And she's thinking over here and over here. And then she says, are you listening to me? Are you listening? Did you hear what I said? And then she says, okay, then tell me what I just said. Uh-oh. Busted, right? I wasn't listening. I was sort of, I mean, I heard the words, but what did she say? It's like going to the store with an errand, get these three things, and you come back and you've forgotten all three because you had your own, you were so sure you knew. Peter, you're not listening to Jesus. How is this possible? Here's his main leader. Here's the one who just in the previous chapter that we saw last week said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And now within just a few moments, 6 days later, Peter is not listening. Friends, the biggest challenge for us, if we are here this morning, if we claim to be followers of Christ, the hardest challenge is to keep listening. Many times, what did Jesus? Jesus gave an expression and said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Revelation through the churches, the verse sermon I preached at the end of December. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God is saying to us, are you listening? What am I saying? What has he just said? This is my Son. Look at my Son. I love my Son. And then he says to us, do you love my Son? I honor my Son. Do you honor my Son? I'm pleased with my Son. Are you pleased with the Son of God? Listen to him. Listen to him, Peter. Listen to him. And he puts our name there. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground. Terrified. This is God in human form. You see, normally, as Jesus walked with them and talked with them, as he ate, as he drank, as he performed miracles, they just thought he was an ordinary teacher. They didn't see who he really was. But now, for a moment, God, as it were, has opened up the window, opened up the curtain, and said, look in. Look at who this is. This is my Son. It's as if the glory, I don't know if you ever study that theme in the Old Testament, when the glory of God, when the glory of God was revealed, people were overwhelmed. They were, you know, it stopped the worship service. When God revealed himself, when God poured out his Spirit and his glory, and that's the story of the birth of Christ, isn't it? John 1:1, the verse that our Jehovah's Witness neighbors love to talk to us about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you can say, listen, we can have quite a little conversation with our Jehovah's Witness neighbors and say to them, listen, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is God with us. He is God in human form. And then chapter 1, verse 14, the text as we draw this to a close. What does John say? And the Word became flesh. The Word took on human form and lived among us. He pitched his tent. The picture is he pitched his tent and we beheld his glory. We saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Was that just last week, my dear sister, you saying, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. What's our desire week by week in the ministry here at ABC? If you lead a Bible study, if you play an instrument, if you preach the word, if you serve with refreshments, if you greet at the door, if you usher, there's just so many ways to serve, and I thank God for every one of you. But what's our desire that as people come in, they'll see Jesus. Because if they see Jesus, if they meet Jesus, they'll be changed. And that's our prayer. Let me pray and then we're going to sing. Father, I pray in Christ's name that you would help us to fasten our faith in the Son of God, the one and only Son, your Son whom you love. Help us to love him. Help us to serve him. This is the Son I love. With him, I'm well pleased. Father, I know that you would be pleased with us if we would be pleased and honor your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Keith's message, but we'd like to invite you to join us at Ajax Baptist Church, 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, where you can not only hear Pastor Keith live in person, but you can also experience good community fellowship and join us in musical worship and praise. If you have questions about today's message or any other concerns, Pastor Keith would be delighted to hear from you directly. Just call the church at 905-683-4802. We look forward to seeing you soon. Your friends at Ajax Baptist Church.